Clock out.
See you tomorrow.
Get out. And get in. The Steph Lucas Show is on.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the 5 o'clock hour of the Steph Lucas Show. Didn't want to tell you guys because it's a surprise. Well, the cat's out of the bag. I interviewed Fred McGrath. He's the director for the Center for Legislative Accountability at CPAC, which is, of course, run by the American Conservative Union Foundation. Now, I'm sure you've heard of CPAC. As many people say, it's an annual event that brings conservative politicians, public intellectuals, pundits, and issue activists together in Washington, D.C. to discuss strategies for achieving their goals as Republicans. So there you have it. And of course, CPAC receives a great deal of attention each year. And behind that is the American Conservative Union. And another thing that the American Conservative Union does besides CPAC, and they also have lots of policy centers, that sort of thing. But the other thing they do besides CPAC is actually have scorecards for legislators at a national and a local level. And so I thought it would be it would definitely be important to interview CPAC because they rate legislators in Idaho on how they vote. And as I'm in the process of interviewing all these lobbyist groups and people who score legislators in Idaho, like the Idaho Freedom Foundation, Idaho Association of Commerce and Industry, I thought, well, American Conservative Union Foundation scores these guys, so let's talk to them. So I have an interview with their director for Center for Legislative Accountability. In other words, he's the guy that scores these legislators, and he explains to us about the process and some of the ins and outs of scoring legislators at the American Conservative Union Foundation. So that is coming up. In the meantime, I'm very happy to be joined by legislator Carrie Hanks. How are you, Representative Hanks?
I am great. I'm happy to be here today.
Absolutely. Thanks for stopping by. So there's a lot we could talk about now. I read your recent op-ed that you wrote. There's that. And then we had the press conference this morning from Lieutenant Governor Janice McGeehan. She's still asking the Idaho legislature to reconvene to address employees for these three large healthcare suppliers in Idaho being required to have vaccines. I spoke to Representative Brent Crane about it yesterday, and he's over in Nampa, of course, and all the lawmakers there said they would be in favor of legislation addressing this. But I want to hear if you're in favor of a legislative session and what you think about the whole situation.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I did hear what Brent Crane had to say yesterday. And and I agree. If the businesses can work it out, that's the perfect solution. But but I think it's going to take legislation. You know, when I've been listening to this week, I was thinking about that poem or that little thing that goes, you know, first they came for the Jews and I wasn't Jewish, so I didn't worry about it. And then they came for the communists and then the trade unionists, all that. And then they came for me and nobody was left.
Right.
So I was thinking about that with our healthcare workers. You know, if we don't stand up for them now, then who's next? Like the students? The students are, it looks like, at least in some districts.
And you've seen with this pandemic, or whatever we're calling it now, the last 18 months, what was it? It used to be 2 weeks to slow the spread. And now we got the Biden administration saying they're coming door to door to check and see if we have our vaccines. So I understand what you're saying about the slippery slope.
Oh, yeah. Well, and when we were in the session, when we were talking about my mask prohibition bill, we were talking about, you know, first it's the mask. They're going to require the mask. Next, it's a vaccine, which is where we are now. And what's next after that? What are they going to make us do next?
Now, I talked with Representative Crane about this yesterday, and he and his fellow lawmakers in Nampa are really okay. Well, I shouldn't say okay. That makes it sound like they're neither here nor there. They actually said they're fine with, and they would support legislation that would address people's rights as far as getting a vaccine and being able to be employed. Let's talk about the elephant in the room, like I called it with Representative Crane. A lot of people are saying, look, they're a private business. Sorry, they can require and do what they want. They can require of their employees what they want. So there's, and it's not just a black and white situation here, but I want to hear your take on the argument that it is a private business.
Okay. Well, you know, we actually had several bills that we tried to get through. Tammy Nichols had House Bill 63, which basically said no, vaccines weren't required. She ended up doing a House concurrent resolution. I wanted to just read a little bit of this to you.
Yeah.
Kind of leads into this. So it said, it affirms the Idaho legislature recognizes in a free society the integrity of personal liberty and fundamental human rights should always be protected. So for me, this is more basic than an employer telling you what to do. You know, employers can tell you, you know, there's a dress code, there's certain things you have to wear, behavior, things like that. But when it comes to our personal rights, I mean, who's going to be with the job forever, for one thing?
You know,
you could be, you could find another job that didn't require it. But there's a basic human right that we should not be told what we have to do with our bodies. I mean, you know, the abortion crowd says, my body, my choice.
That's
what's interesting with that. It's okay. But not with the immunization or the vaccine. And look where we've come in less than 18 months.
Yeah.
You know.
Did you think 18 months ago, if someone told you what was going on now, like gave you a synopsis, what would you have said 18 months ago?
I wouldn't have believed that, people can fall into the I hate to say it, I'm sheep mentality, basically.
Yeah.
And whatever CNN says or
the legacy media says,
it's just shocking how we're not doing that research ourselves, because I have done enough research for me. I've talked to my doctor, and it's like, there's no way I'm going to do that. And plus, this is another thing. Those of us who have had COVID, we have the antibodies. I've been tested by two different places. I have the antibodies. Why does it make sense that I would go and get a vaccine for something I've already had? But they're pushing that. They leave no allowances for things like that. No allowances for people that do have health challenges. They know from the past they can't take vaccines. It's just crazy what's happening. And I heard Richard talking earlier.
He has his research done on anyone's objection to the vaccine. He's terrific.
So I know a friend of mine shared this with us, and actually this family shared it on our legislative email. There's a man in Hammett that he wanted to be the good citizen, goes in and gets the vaccine, the jab. It's not really a vaccine anyway.
Right. As Richard says, it's a shot. So,
Yeah, he gets it. And the first one, and he starts, his body starts just reacting to it. He had these problems that his wife documented for us. And he is now paralyzed from the waist down.
Wow.
And this, he got the shot in April. And I believe he's still in the hospital down
in Utah.
They had to ship him to Utah.
So since this is a friend of yours, I mean, did they tell you if they've pinpointed it as a vaccine, or are they just... how are his healthcare providers dealing with it?
I haven't talked to him. No, it's a friend of mine who knows about this. And his wife has shared it on our legislative page.
I see.
And it's just, I mean, that's one case, but I would not want to be that case. And that's what he said. He said, I never would have imagined this would happen to me.
They say it's a minority, you know, where when kids have an adverse reaction, but he says, if it's your kid, that's not a minority. That's your kid. So you totally understand where these healthcare workers are coming from.
Boy,
Representative Brett Crane and Bruce Skaug, as a matter of fact, said that they had been getting calls from healthcare workers at these hospitals, and they're just beside themselves.
Yeah. Well, and so, like, the legislation wouldn't necessarily pinpoint businesses. It would just say that we have rights as people, citizens, to decide what our medical choices are going to be.
I see.
And so it doesn't even really pinpoint businesses as far as I can see. It's not saying, no, you businesses are not going to tell us. It's more of a proactive, just saying my basic right trumps a business or a government telling me what to do.
You know, I like that perspective. You explained that. That makes a lot more sense to me now, actually, about it's not so much about targeting businesses. It's about protecting individual rights.
Right.
So I see where you're coming from with that. But back to the hospitals before we take a break. What if there was legislation? Let's just say we hypothetically held a legislative session. Mm-hmm. What if there was a bill passed that said you could hold a hospital liable for anything that happened to you from the vaccine? Would that be on the table?
Oh, I absolutely think if the hospitals are so sure that this is a good idea, they should have the person sign a form and say if I have adverse reactions, the hospital or the business is liable for that.
Okay.
Let's see what their lawyers say about that, because that'd be crazy.
I think they might change things around. All right, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, a little bit more with Representative Carrie Hanks, and then we're going to have that interview with Fred McGrath, Director for the Center of Legislative Accountability at CPAC, run by the American Conservative Union Foundation. He's telling us how they score Idaho legislators on their voting records. Are they conservative or not? It's coming up on The Steph Lucas Show.
Locally sourced news and info to drive you home.
Local news is like the most important stuff to me.
Steph Lucas on KID News Radio 106.3 and 92.1.
Welcome back to The Steph Lucas Show. I'm sitting here with Representative Carrie Hanks. And the debate is continuing in all counties across Idaho and all legislative districts. As soon as word dropped that three major healthcare providers on the eastern side of the state are mandating that their employees have vaccines to be able to continue to work at those hospitals. There was calls from the Lieutenant Governor of Idaho, Janice McGeehan, for special legislative session to address what people's rights are. Do private businesses have the right to mandate what their employees put in their body? Is it a requirement? Or is there, well, Carrie, what's the other side of the story? I've explained this to the point where my brain's like, I don't know, there's 20 different perspectives. So it's about, in some cases, the rights of businesses to mandate what their employees do. And then there's, should individual rights and bodily autonomy be protected here? And you were saying last segment, it's not so much about the businesses particularly. It's just about people's rights to their health, if I'm paraphrasing correctly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I think. And I've had contact with the Chamber of Commerce and asked them what they thought about the liability.
Mm-hmm.
And
the Idaho Falls Chamber of Commerce or the Idaho Chamber of Commerce?
I'll just say
Chamber of Commerce. All right,
Chamber
you're good.
Of Commerce. I don't want to really out anybody, but
yeah.
They just said that the liability would go to the pharmaceuticals, and I said no, they have immunity on that.
Okay.
And there's workman's comp. I've read that, but people that have had to deal with workman's comp know I would not want to base my health choices on what workman's comp will do for me if I have some reactions. So I think that the businesses should have a form that is signed that they take on the liability. So let's see how much they really trust that those vaccines are safe vaccines, as they say.
Yeah, Ada County Republicans brought up on their Facebook page that this is not an FDA-approved vaccine.
Absolutely.
And that's the concern of a lot of healthcare employees at St. Alphonsus, St. Luke's.
Well, and they haven't had the length of trials that they need to have. I think Richard talked about that as well. We need to see what happens in a year or two, because we didn't have the usual trials that you have on drugs. And so that would be a red flag to me as well.
Right. That's why people... that's one of their main objections here. So we're talking about passing a bill that might hold hospitals liable. That's on the table. If we held a special legislative session, would it be just about employees and not having to take the vaccine? Would you like to see anything else addressed that maybe didn't get taken care of this last legislative session?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
I have had several people talk to me about property taxes.
Mm-hmm.
We did pass a bill, but it was not a good bill. It's
okay.
A very complicated bill. I've already talked to two of our county assessors about it, and it's just a mess. And so I think we need to go back and address that and make it simpler and protect our citizens that have been in their homes for 30, 40 years, and now
right.
They're getting these huge tax increases because you've got somebody that comes in from California and buys a house and
yeah.
has cash and pays whatever.
Right.
And it really affects the surrounding mm-hmm. Properties.
I think Ada County said that they're releasing price increases, you know, just valuations for the county mm-hmm. for homes in August, and they said it's going to be about 28% increase in home values.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Whoo!
It's bad. And then another thing that I'd like to – that somebody proposed that I thought was very interesting is mm-hmm. to suspend the gas tax right now.
Okay.
As the gas is just shooting up, you
yeah.
know, and people are already struggling enough.
Yeah.
Let's suspend that gas tax for a bit and mm-hmm. see.
With $800 million surplus,
right.
It seems like a possibility.
Yeah, we've got several things we can do. So, and I think there's probably other proposals that that are in the pipeline, but
okay.
those are a couple of things that I think would be interesting, at least mm-hmm. the gas tax, to explore that and see if there's something we can do on that.
Right. Now, if we talk about going back into a legislative session and addressing other issues, a lot of people, I've noticed, bring up the article, well, we don't want a argument, not article, bring up the argument that we don't want a full-time legislature. This is government overreach, et cetera, et cetera. My argument to that is, look, we just came out of like the absolute weirdest, craziest year ever. And like you and I were talking 18 months ago, we didn't think yeah. what we're seeing happening now is happening right now. So I can understand the Idaho legislature's argument for holding a long legislative session and going back into session. I can see that argument. But what is your reply when people say, hey, we don't want to turn into a full-time legislature?
Well, I don't know that anybody that serves wants to be full-time.
Mm-hmm.
However, I feel like I'm stepping up a bit as part-time because I do a lot of work, visits, constitutional services during the off time.
Mm-hmm.
So some of us are more towards full-time anyway, but
right.
not serving over there.
Right.
But we have... I'm so glad that we have the option this year that the House only recessed
mm-hmm.
So that we have the option to go back in. But we've got to be able to address things like this. None of us wants to be full-time. I can't see that we ever would have enough business to do that we would be full-time.
Right.
But we really need that option, and I think this needs to be addressed. We could have addressed it during the session.
Mm-hmm.
We had the bills there. They basically went to the Senate and died.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's partially our own faults that we didn't get this stuff done during the
mm-hmm.
regular session.
I see. So. Any predictions on when we might hear if there's going to be a legislative session or not?
Not at all. But the deadline basically for them to get the shot
yeah.
is the 1st of September.
1st of September.
So
okay.
I think we need to address it before then.
Mm-hmm.
So
that would have to be pretty soon
yeah.
if that happened. And Lieutenant Governor Janice McGeehan today, of course,
yes.
making another press conference and calls for
good,
that.
Good press conference.
Yeah. Haven't really heard much from Governor Brad Little on that.
No.
So.
But I would like to encourage your listeners to contact Scott Bedke, S. Bedke,
mm-hmm.
At house.idaho.gov, C. Winder mm-hmm. at senate.idaho.gov. And your own legislators, your senator and your representatives, let
right.
them know where you stand because it's those three hospitals right now, but what's next?
Right. And, you know, I'm glad you brought that up and about contacting your legislator and the Speaker of the House about holding a special session because ultimately it is not up to hospitals or big money interests to decide if we have a legislative session or not. it's up to the people to decide that.
That's true. And yeah, and we've been getting many, many emails. I haven't really gotten maybe a couple calls, but but people are very, very concerned. Some of them want to be anonymous because they are worried about their jobs. I mean, these people have a mortgage. Probably all of them have a mortgage.
Yeah.
They have car payments. They have kids. They have expenses, and we've had such a a cutoff year that people have not had money.
Right. And there is the argument, you know, oh, well, hey, you can just go work somewhere else.
Yeah.
Well, these are the three largest healthcare providers on that side of the state.
Yeah.
Where else are these employees going to go? They would literally have to pick up, sell their house, and move.
That's why it's kind of interesting that all three of them announced it the same day.
Yes. Brett Crane brought that up yesterday.
Yeah, I think he announced pointed that out as well, that it's kind of interesting. It doesn't look coincidental to any of us that they all announced it the same day, because then one nurse could jump to another, you know, whoever didn't want to work, they could jump to another hospital. Mm-hmm. But this way they can't.
They can't. So it's like I was saying yesterday, maybe this isn't really the actions of private individual businesses. All three are working together. So
well,
there's that argument.
You think about how much money they get from Medicare, Medicaid.
Yeah.
They're really tied in with the government. So, so this, I don't know, this just doesn't make sense that we're pushing this. And 18 months ago, we were a lot freer people than we are now. So it's just been crazy how we've been nudged or pushed into this compliance. So I think people need to wake up and pay a little more attention to what's going on.
Okay. Well, thanks so much, Carrie Hanks, for being on the show. Really appreciate your input. And coming up next, we are going to discuss CPAC and their scoring system. We're talking with Fred McGrath, Director, Center for Legislative Accountability. It's coming up next on The Steph Lucas Show.